The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Amen, amen, amen. Thanks, guys. Awesome. You may be seated. And good morning. Good morning, church. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming today and just being in the presence of the Lord. And Krista, thank you for leading us there. And it's good. It's good to be together and have family, church family. And I also want to just say happy Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good weekend, a Thanksgiving weekend. I was thinking about the fact that Thanksgiving really hasn't gotten nearly as commercialized as a lot of the other holidays have become, which in a lot of ways I think makes me appreciate Thanksgiving even more. It just it's good family time, time to be together, good time to just remember the words of Psalm 107, right? Give thanks, let's say it together, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. And that's a wonderful theme of all of the Psalms. His love endures forever. And we just have a lot to be thankful for to the Lord. As Chris has said, regardless of some of the many challenges in our lives, we can be here and thank the Lord. Thought I'd give just a few glimpses or insights. We're still getting to know each other, and this is a little of what we do as a family. We got together as family, so that's me and my wife Karen, Jamae's up left, Ming, Maddie, and Mitchell. We're the ones pretty much around our Thanksgiving table. But this is us playing a game called Masterpiece. Have any of you ever played Masterpiece? There's not too many of us. This is an old game, which is an art auction game. Does that sound nerdy or what? It is a great game. This is a game from my childhood. And to this day, when I'm watching Jeopardy, I remember all the paintings from the game Masterpiece. It's my only reference point for games. So we're just having a great game of Masterpiece. Have any of you played GeoGuessr? Any GeoGuessers? I'm helping you guys out here. This is some great clues. Anybody love maps? Let me ask that question. Does anyone just love geography and maps? Anyone? A handful of us. This is a great game based off of Google Maps, where it drops you somewhere in the world and you have anywhere from, you set the time, but 5 minutes to figure out where in the world am I. They like drop you in a neighborhood in Stockholm and you've got 5 minutes to figure out where you are. It's a great game. So there you go. We played a lot of GeoGuessr this weekend, played some pickleball. Kyle's not here, so I can ask, does anyone love pickleball? Got out and played some pickleball, and I'm going to just tell you, Ming and I played some disc golf. This is at Sholey Creek, Boiling Springs, hole nine, my first ace ever. So thank you. First ace ever, aced hole nine, par three. So, and you can see the hat there, my hat. So thank you. Thank you. It was a rough day for Buckeye. Yeah, sorry, not sorry. So, yeah, that was, and then last night we did, I was a little rough, I think, in an email I sent out about 3 weeks ago about early Christmas people. I've got a little pushback on the fact that I felt a little harsh on people. It was the fact that we were trick-or-treating and there were Christmas carolers and Christmas lights. I was just thought that's a little early, but anyway, we did last night kick off as a family the Christmas season with our annual tradition of watching Elf and hot chocolate with candy canes and then putting up the tree. So that was last night, and it was fun. Any of you love Elf? Come on, we got some Elf fans out there. Yes, finally. So, all right, let's jump into it. Grab your Bible if you would, and we're going to be wrapping up today. Next week, we jump into Advent. Advent's the shortest as it can kind of be this year, where the fourth Sunday of Advent is also Christmas Eve. So we'll be lighting two candles that Sunday. But this is the last of our series in the book of 1 Timothy. Turn to chapter 6, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to be wrapping up this morning. A great series. We're also getting into 2 Timothy in the new year, so we're going to do both of them here this kind of school year. But this is a summary. I thought it would be good to just give a little bit of a summary of kind of 1 Timothy as a whole. This is one of the pastors that I really have admired through the years, Dr. Chuck Swindoll, Charles Swindoll, great writer. And just listen to kind of his summary of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy presents the most explicit and complete instructions for church leadership and organization in the entire Bible. This includes sections on appropriate conduct in worship gatherings, the qualifications of elders and deacons, the proper order of church discipline. Paul advised Timothy on these very practical matters, and these are all very practical things, in a way that would have helped the young pastor. We figure Timothy was probably late 20s, maybe early 30s, but in that world and in that culture and for his job, really trying to lead a church that was in one of the largest cities in the world, Ephesus, was so much. And so Paul is advising Timothy on these practical matters in the way that would have helped this young pastor to emphasize the purity that should characterize Christian leaders and the gatherings that they oversee. Timothy's youth, in many ways, served him well, allowing for the energy he needed to serve his people. However, it also caused, no doubt, difficulties with older Christians who may not have taken quickly to the leadership of such a young man because of his lack of knowledge and experience in leadership. It was important to Paul that Timothy set an example, right? 1 Timothy 4:12, Austin preached on it 3 weeks ago or so, that we are to set an example to all of the believers in our speech, our life, our love, our faith, and our purity. So to set this example of consistent faith and a good conscience, remaining above reproach, wow, yeah, and exercising the spiritual gifts that God had given to him. However, Paul knew that such a task would not be easy in any way for Timothy. Therefore, on two occasions, one of them is today's passage, Paul encouraged Timothy to fight the good fight. Hang in there, Timothy. Perseverance in what was good often became a slog for Timothy, one that required thick skin and a clear purpose. And then I loved how Chuck Swindoll just transitioned in this summary to us, to today, to the choices we make. Our churches will be strongest when they're closest to the biblical vision laid out for them. Do you agree with that? I do, of course, that our churches will be the strongest. Sometimes maybe not the most attractive. I mean, you know, you can draw a crowd around a lot of glitz and glam and a lot of fun stuff. And that's, I'm not saying some of that isn't bad or good, but I'm just saying I agree with Swindoll that our churches are the strongest, the most Christ-like and effective when we're closest to the biblical vision laid out for us. As you look at your church or look for a new one, consider the priorities of the leaders. Look for an emphasis on sound doctrine, on purity within the leaders' personal lives, and on living out the Christian faith by example. Find those qualities, and you will more than likely find a church where you can thrive. What a great summary of 1 Timothy and for us as it applies to us. So let's look at 1 Timothy, the last 12 verses of the whole book of chapter 6. And let's just read them together. But as for you, I'll put it on the screen, but it's great to have it in your there in front of you. As for you, O man of God, flee these things, which we're going to see in a moment what he's talking about. It's kind of a summary of the last paragraph. Pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, and love and steadfastness and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until Jesus, our Lord, appears, and which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in inapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion forever. Amen. So as for the rich, Paul wraps up, in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, proud, boastful, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Isn't that a great Thanksgiving verse? Set our hope on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may also then take hold of that which is truly life. Oh, Timothy, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some, sadly, have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. Amen? Isn't that awesome? What an amazing word of encouragement and a wrap-up. And as I think about how we begin to apply this and think about this in our own lives, I want to ask, how many of you like checkups or check-ins? How many of you like the process, like, for example, open up every 6 months at the dentist? Any of you like that? Nobody. I don't see one. It's necessary. We don't like going to the dentist, right, at all. You know, them pricking around and making your gums bleed when your mouth was just fine, thank you very much. You know, but no, we don't like that, going for a checkup. Or a couple weeks ago, I'm updating my insurance policy and I had to do this physical and they had to check my blood and urine and all that kind of stuff. And so nobody likes doing any of that. No. As much as we hate them, though, checkups, check-ins are really good for us. Why? Because looks can be deceiving. Things on the surface can be deceiving. It's important to know what's going on below the surface. None of us really know what's going on with our teeth until that dentist takes those x-rays and really begins to check it out. And as I think about this and us wrapping up 1 Timothy, every Sunday, here we are. We worship, beautiful worship, and we connect with each other and learn a couple of names, and we give God an hour of our time here together in this way. But I believe that God also designed this time, just coming together as the body of Christ, gathering to be a spiritual checkup, an opportunity for all of us to expose our hearts before the Lord. And just to say it this way, God wants to shine a light into my soul, into our souls. And he wants to kind of check out where we're at. Which way are our feet walking or headed? And I think about this picture. Just look at that picture right there. And we have laid out before us a couple of paths, right? One path that's going up and to the left, and another path that's going down to the right. And I think every Sunday morning is an opportunity to kind of check in and ask, which way are you walking? I think about, I didn't put it up here on the screen, but my kids had, in the early days of memes, wasn't a meme, Mitchell, which way you walking? Isn't that an always? Is that not? That's Mitchell. You're shaking your head. I remember this meme. Which way are you walking? Anyway, which way are you walking? Are you walking? Think about the words of Jesus, right? When he said in Matthew 7, Sermon on the Mount, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. I want you to think of that as the path down to the right, the path downward. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads up to eternal life, and few are those who find it. Which way are you walking? Are you walking up into the more narrow path or the broad path that leads down to destruction? So how do we know? How do we know which way our feet are walking? Well, God's word can constantly correct me. If I'm just trusting my own sense of right and wrong, not that God doesn't give us that, he does, but at the same time, we need God's word to lead us into the paths of righteousness, into the paths, into the narrow path. And I think about kind of this up and down. Am I walking into life, and this is the way I kind of put it here, into open spaces? I really believe and know that as we walk into all that God has for us, we are actually walking into open spaces. We are walking into freedom. We are walking into life that is abundant, because contrary to what this world thinks, as we walk into the things of this world, it's actually getting narrower and narrower. Why? Because we become entrapped by those things of this world. Am I walking into life and open spaces, abundant life, love, hope, joy, peace? Or am I walking into tighter places? Selfishness. Being controlled. Controlling others. Greed and lust. The list could go on and on. You know, as I was thinking about this sermon and even this point, some of the things that flashed in my mind were some interviews that I've seen through the years, but some different people, celebrities, that have kind of, quote unquote, had it all, right? They had everything this world has to offer. They had the money, the fame, the gorgeous houses, and, you know, three of them around the world or whatever, and the cars. And I don't know where Deion Sanders is at with the Lord. I honestly don't, although he gives testimony. But I watched a video recently of Deion saying, I had it all. I literally had it all, and it was worthless. It was a trap. And how he talks about finding Christ and how it has given him so much more. Am I walking into tighter places? Am I giving my life to things that matter? To things that will last forever. I've heard it said that there's only two things that will last from this world. Two things that are absolutely, truly eternal. One of them is the Word of God. And the other is the souls of people. Those are the only two things that are going to ultimately survive this world. Everything else won't. It won't last forever. Am I giving my life to things that matter and will last forever? Or am I living for things that in the end won't or mean nothing? I think about the illustration that a pastor that I had used many years ago, and yet I've held on to it. And it's just the simple picture of a bubble, a soap bubble. And you blow that bubble and it's floating in front of you. And it looks substantial. It looks real. And sometimes if you're really good, you can kind of catch it on the wand again, right? But even then, it'll only last for a moment. Because if you grab that bubble, it is gone. It disappears. And yet, that is exactly the lie that so many people believe. It's a lie of Satan, that the things of this world are the things that matter. And yet, they won't. Am I living for things that in the end, when I grab them or think I have them, just are gone? Are gone. Paul is wrapping up his first letter to Timothy by imploring him, charging him to pursue the things that really matter, the things that lead to life, the things that really check which way his feet are headed. And I love how in this passage, these 12 verses, twice Paul refers to Timothy. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, O man of God. And then down in verse 20, O Timothy, guard the good deposit. You know, as I think about Paul saying this, this to me seems and feels so personal and so loving. O Timothy, I am just imploring you to really do three things. And that's kind of as I really wrap up this passage. First of all, he says, flee these things, right? In verse 11. Well, he's referring to the two paragraphs before, the section, it's actually one long paragraph before this. And he's talking about several things. Look up at verse 3. If anyone teaches a different doctrine that does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus and the teaching that accords with godliness. He's saying, Timothy, you need to flee anything that doesn't agree with the words of Jesus. Anything other than the words of Jesus, and you're going to be walking the wrong path because his words alone lead to life. Second of all, he says, flee pride. Because when we do that, look at verse 4. He's puffed up and is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversies. So he's saying, second of all, you need to flee conceit and pride. Oh, just look at them all right here. Conceit and pride. And then in verses 4 and 5, he says, flee controversies and unhealthy quarreling that just do nobody any good. Just gossip and conversation that takes people down the wrong path, lead to friction between people. Constantly pursuing stuff, up in verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. Wow. So anything that makes you think that you can hold on to the stuff of this world, he's saying, Timothy, it's a soap bubble. It'll disappear. It is not built to last. So flee constantly pursuing stuff, which leads to not money, but the love of money. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. I want to pull up in your mind again this path, right? And he's saying, Timothy, that is the broad path, the broad, you know, way that leads ultimately to emptiness, to destruction. And you get around that corner and it's going to take you into tighter places, places that are not in any way satisfying, places that will not lead you to an experience of joy and peace and life and love. No, Timothy, you've got to put your path, your feet on these things. This is the way you need to be walking. Pursue these things. And look then at verse 11, right? The second half of verse 11. Pursue six things. Righteousness. Righteousness. That simply boils down to just doing the right thing. Just make the right choices. And we all know, every one of us in this room knows how challenging that is. To just day by day make good choices, to listen to the Lord and to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives in a way that we pursue righteousness, that we pursue godliness, godliness in our lives. And we do that through faith, trusting the Lord, through love. That's the opposite, right, of these dissensions and gossip and quarrel and fighting and all of the things that just get you nowhere. Love, what does love do? Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love forgives. Pursue love because these are the things that are going to lead to the open places in your life. Steadfastness. Steadfastness. That means just don't give up. Don't give up. And if you stumble down and fall, get up. Keep walking. And do it all. I love that this made the list of gentleness. Just be gentle. Lord, help me be gentle. I'm going to admit that even as I age, it's just kind of weird that I have a tendency, I find it in myself, to just be a little not as gentle as I used to be. I don't know. It's just kind of in the same way that leather gets hardened over the years and loses its softness or pliability. I find that my soul can even be that way a little bit. And I have to really let the Lord work in my own life to pursue gentleness. God, help me to be gentle. These are the things that Paul is encouraging Timothy to pursue. And what he's saying in all of this is, this takes all you've got and more. And by the "and more," I mean the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is not easy. In fact, he goes on to double down on this to say, you got to fight for this. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight, but it's a fight. It's not easy. But then he says that all of these things not only lead to life, but he's saying, Timothy, these things are life. This is life. Life abundant. And when you really look at this, at these 12 verses, this turns up 3 times. Right? Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the what? Eternal life. So this is life eternal. Look at verse 13. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things. The presence of God who gives what? Life to all things. This is, as you walk that narrower path that leads to life, this is a pathway that leads us to the Lord, and ultimately it is the Lord who gives life to all things. And then look down at verse 20, or 19 rather. Thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is really life. Truly life. These things of righteousness and the things of God and the things of this path that he's calling us to take, this upward path, is the pathway to life. These are the things in our lives that lead to it. So he's saying, wrap up. Hold, this is his wrap up. Hold on to the truth. Hold on to the truth. There we have verse 20. Oh, Timothy, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. What he's talking about there is the gospel. He's talking about doctrine. He's talking about truth. He's talking about the word. This is the good deposit. The word of God, Jesus, embodied in these words of life. Guard this, Timothy, because this is your life. Guard it. Don't get caught up with false knowledge. Avoid irrelevant babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Oh, we know that contrary to the word of God, there are so many voices out there that are proclaiming a false gospel. But it's a path that leads to tighter places, that does not lead to life. Avoid false knowledge. Don't get caught up with all of this babble. We know that was happening in Ephesus. It's the same today. And then he wraps up by simply saying, don't swerve from your faith. For by professing it, this false knowledge, some have swerved from the faith. Sadly, they've drifted. They've swerved. They've gotten off the path. And it can lead to all kinds of heartache. Grace be with you. So just to wrap up, this passage and all of 1 Timothy, just to say that I was texting a friend recently. I was actually wishing him a happy birthday. He lives out in L.A., and he was back and forth with me a little bit. And then, this was like Tuesday of this week, somewhere in this week. And then he simply said, what can I be praying about for you? And of course, there's always things to be praying about, right? For our families and just the different things in our lives. And for all of us, there are certain things that come to the top of our mind. But I had just spent hours studying this passage and trying to let this really get into my heart and apply it to me, myself. And I said to him, you know what? I'm going to ask you to pray for all of the things that I'm reading about right here in the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy. I'm going to ask you to pray about these things for me. I'm going to ask you to pray that I pursue the right stuff in life. Pray that I pursue the right stuff. Pray that I fight the good fight of faith. Pray that I pursue my calling. Isn't that part of what Paul was saying to Timothy? Timothy, I was there when people laid hands on you and made prophecies over you and you stepped into your calling. Timothy, I know you feel overwhelmed, but I know you're called. And you need to pursue that calling. And you know what, church? All of us are called by the Lord, gifted by the Lord. What is it that the Lord has for us? Fight for that. Pursue that. Pursue your calling that God has for you. And if you don't know what that is, then ask the Lord to make clear His calling in your life. Pray that I am walking toward life and not toward the tighter places of life. Pray that I believe and share the gospel, that I don't count on worldly riches, because the Lord, He's making clear in this passage that we can get so off track when we pursue worldly riches. Pray that I thank the Lord who richly provides me with everything that I need. Let me just pause on that. Pray that I just thank the Lord who richly provides me with everything I need. He's so good. He knows us. And pray that I believe and share the gospel is where he lands all of this. So just to put this in a prayer, Lord, we thank you and we need you. And we pray, Jesus, that you will just give us more of yourself. Carissa and the band, if you could come up, I'm just going to lead us in a time of prayer. Jesus, we're going to spend a moment now just singing some words. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all of the stuff of this world, but give me Jesus. Lord, right now in this moment, as we think about which path, metaphorically, which path our feet are walking, which ways in my life am I walking the wrong path? The path that leads to tighter places, being controlled by things, discontentment, anxiety, frustration, guilt, shame, pain. Lord Jesus, we need your help. Right now, to look up that path that leads to life and to just take one step that way, right now. Just to say, I'm committed, Lord, to walking the path that leads to life. It's a fight, fighting the good fight of faith. But help me, Lord Jesus, by your power and your strength, to pursue gentleness, godliness, and righteousness, and love, and faith. God, those are the things that I want to be running to right now, pursuing, even crawling to. Lord, by your power, help me to walk that path. And Lord, it really does all boil down to what we're going to sing right now. Lord, I need you, Jesus. I need you. And we're living, I'm living for things that really matter. For things that will endure forever. Things that are truly life. eternal life, abundant life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that we can be here, that we can even kind of allow our spirits to undergo this spiritual checkup, which where my feet walking right now. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. In your name we pray.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.